Okay, so our topic for tonight, it's called keeping it clean using one dishwasher for meat and milk. One dishwasher for meat and milk. So somebody saw me a mincha, so he said, do you have good news for us or do you have bad news for us? So I said, well, I always try to give lots of options. So we're going to have plenty of choices to choose from at the end of the day. Not any option, but hopefully a couple of options to choose from, but you'll probably get the sense of where the mainstream options are going. Okay? So I want to start out with a possibility, analyzing a possibility, which may seem crazy, but it's true. It's really discussed, and it's actually one of our major postgame is lenient on this question. We'll see the leniency may have some, need require some qualification. So the question is, let's start with the following sort of what we'll call more of an extreme case, and then we'll go to a more moderate case. Now, again, so the issue is we want to use one dishwasher for meat and milk. So if a person is blessed with space in his kitchen and he can afford to buy two dishwashers, that's fantastic. But sometimes people can only afford one dishwasher, or they only have space for one dishwasher. The way their kitchen layout works out, or if you have you're living in an apartment, you have a small kitchen, so you're very limited in terms of your space and what you have, what your options are. So what can one use one dishwasher for meat and milk? So we'll start out with the possibility of perhaps maybe we can even entertain the possibility of using the dishwasher for dairy and for meat, not one after the other, but even at the same time. I'll put my dairy dishes and my meat dishes in the dishwasher at the same time, and I'm going to wash them.
There's a possibility they take off the taste from the plate.
Okay, so let's analyze all those questions. Hopefully, we get to it. Any questions I don't analyze, then let me know, and I'd be happy to discuss. Okay, so there's. I'm going to mute everybody, but feel free to unmute yourself as you wish and as is necessary. Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeya, Simin Sadihe Saif Dalid, has the following halacha. Yerayli, he says it seems to me, he doesn't necessarily have a earlier source for this concept, but it seems to him, and he quotes, and well the Shach and the Taz, take issue with this psak. There might even take issue with this psak, but let's just take the psak as is, the psak of Shulchan Aruch. Let's assume it's true. Yirai elim shivnanu efer b'mayim chamin shebayora kodim shinichu akhtirot betocha. So let's say I have the following scenario. I want to wash dairy dishes and meat dishes together at the same time. Now, that's definitely could be an issue, right? A lot of meat and milk going back and forth. Lots of potential problems there. But what do? I put some sort of very bitter substance in the pot or in the large vessel that I'm washing my dishes. Now, in the old days, right, they didn't have dishwashers, they didn't have sinks, they didn't have running water. So how would they wash their dishes? They had to wash their dishes somehow. So they had to take a large vat, right? Sometimes they would even heat it as they were washing the dishes, or it would have hot water in it. And they put their dishes in there and they'd scrub them and they'd try to get them clean. So let's say a person wants to wash his dairy and his meat dishes in the same container at the same time. So Shulchan Aruch says, I have an etzah for you. I have a suggestion. I have a way you could do it. So what do? You put something bitter, something like ashes, something that's not really edible. And any taste that leaves any of the dishes is immediately going to be ruined by the taste of the ashes that are inside this big pot. So he says, in that case, and even though maybe my dishes are dirty, I didn't clean them before I put them in this wash basin. I have dirty dishes. Nevertheless, mutar, you're allowed to. It's okay. Why? Because any flavor that would be transferring back and forth between the dishes and between the food and between the other dishes is automatically going to become pagum. It's going to become distasteful. It's going to become not meaningful. And therefore, it's not going to be able to impart any meaningful flavor to the other dishes. So Rav Avadia Yosef, in his response to Yabia Omer, has a very famous teshuvah, where he says that perhaps we can apply or he says we could apply the same principle when it comes to washing meat and dairy dishes in the same dishwasher. So how? He says, "V'av kan shamayim shemadichim b'hem et hakelim me'urav b'hem matkat sabon." So what do we have in the dishwasher? We have soap. U'sha'ar chomrei nikui harifim. We have other forms of very sharp, very strong cleansing agents. Nodim tam lifgam b'mayim u'v'kelim. Anything that comes out, anything that's transferred, anything that moves around in that dishwasher is going to be disgusting. It's going to be tasteless. It's going to be not just tasteless. The taste is going to be ruined. It's going to taste bitter. It's going to taste soapy. That's not food. That's not something that creates prohibition. So therefore, in that case, mutar lahadiach kli basar ukli chalav afilu bevat achat minadiach kelim. So then I'd be allowed to wash even meat and dairy, even dirty dishes at the same time in the dishwasher. Ki halacha ravachati shenotein tam lifgam mutar. There's a widespread halacha, it's agreed on by everybody, that notein tam lifgam, that if the flavor is distasteful, it is mutar. The flavor does not create any prohibition. So therefore, even though I have meat and dairy flavor flying throughout my dishwasher, but since the soap is there, the soap negates all the flavor, just like in that halacha we saw in Shulchan Aruch, and therefore I'd be allowed to wash the meat and the dairy dishes together at the same time. Okay. Now the postim raised two major issues with the Psak of Ravadi Yosef, which is why in practice the Psak of Ravadi Yosef is not practiced so much and is not really so widely accepted. Problem number one. Right, Binyamin Forst in his Laws of Kashrus quotes the following issue. He says, in the very beginning of the washing cycle, hot water may start spraying before it has been rendered pagum by the detergents. Yes, of course the detergents make the ta'am, the taste, pagum. But that's assuming that there's no hot water in the dishwasher before the soap gets there. But if the hot water comes first, so then you're going to have a major problem because you have this hot water spraying all over the dishwasher. And that hot water is going to transfer the taste between your different dishes. So you're going to have meat and milk flying all over the place. With hot meat, with hot water, forget it. That's not going to work. That doesn't work. So that's problem number one. Ravadi Yosef was discussing a mechanism, which probably was the mechanism that existed when he originally wrote this Teshuvah, where there's no hot water coming into the system before the soap. But given the systems that we have, where many of the mechanisms have hot water coming in before the soap, so therefore you're not going to be able to remove or avoid the transference of taste by the soap alone, because there's going to be hot water there before the soap. And I was just looking around on the internet, and I saw on this website called Explain That Stuff, one of the articles available online, how a dishwasher works. Now, nobody can really tell you exactly how a dishwasher works, probably because they all work slightly differently, and nobody's really been inside this dishwasher while it was operating. But anyway, I guess the engineers don't release so much information. Nobody knows exactly how the dishwashers work, but he says you load up the detergent into a dispenser in the door, and sometime during the wash cycle, usually a while after the machine first switches on, the dispenser flips open, dropping or dripping the detergent into the hot water bath in the bottom of the machine. So at least in his understanding, this is written recently, this is written in 2019. So at least with his understanding of the mechanism of the dishwasher, you're going to have the hot water there first, and then you're going to have the soap, which is a problem because all the flavor is going to be flying around in the hot water before the soap can come in and remove the taste. Okay. A second issue is raised by Harav Rosen. He's one of the Chachamim, one of the Rabbanim from Tzomet, which is the Institute for Halacha and Technology. So Rosen has the following concern. So he says, this assumption that the detergent will remove all the taste, all the meaningful taste in the dishwasher. So he says, it is not precisely correct according to the reality on ground, the engineering reality. The reality is that you actually have whole pieces of food that get stuck in different places in the dishwasher, or at least in the filter of the dishwasher. I actually meant to go check my dishwasher, see if there is a filter and what's in the filter. I didn't have a chance to do that. But if you check your dishwasher, it probably has a filter, because if you have large pieces of food going out the waste pipe, you're going to get food stuck in there, and you're going to have buildup, and it's going to ruin your machine. So that's why dishwashers have a filter that catches the larger pieces. So if you look in the filter, at least, you're going to have a lot of big pieces over there. So he says, Yadu ala kol shiyesha shotfim azon be chomrei chitui. Sometimes we may clean food, right, with the detergent agents, but if you, once you rinse it off, the food is edible. Okay, very nice. You're assuming that all the food has lost its any ability to transmit flavor. But is that really true? If you have the food left in the bottom, right, even at all the soaps and everything, but once you rinse it off, I have a whole piece of food. I have a piece of meat from my chillin' stock on the bottom of my dishwasher. I know it sounds disgusting. It doesn't sound so attractive. I wouldn't want to eat it. But is it edible? It could be. Will it give off taste? It could be, right? So even if you avoid the issue, even if you assume that the soap only comes afterwards, but there's probably going to be a wash cycle that's going to be soap-free. And that wash cycle that's so free is going to transfer the taste from that food into the other, into what else is going, whatever else is going on, right? So he says, and he says, wow, this is a very interesting statement. He says, "Lefi marit enai dome ki mi arvivu shiarim elu b'tavshil b'zad lo yashko b'chav." I mean, it's an interesting point. Let's say there's a piece of meat stuck. I mean, that sounds a little bit not so attractive, not so appetizing. But let's say there's a little piece of meat stuck on the bottom of my dishwasher. Without telling you, I took it, I chopped it up, and I put it in the salad, mixed it with a lot of other things, and salad dressing, and all these other things. Would you realize that it was came from a dishwasher? Probably not. I mean, again, it doesn't sound so appetizing. I wouldn't want to do it. I wouldn't want you to give it to me in my salad. But would you know that it came from a dishwasher? Would you know that? Would you assume that it's tam pagum? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. So therefore, you'll end up with the same problem, because now, even if you resolve the issue, and even if you could say that the soap was there the whole time, but who says that it really was effective? Who says that it really removed the taste? And he says, Achen HaRav Yitzchak Yosef, who is the son of Rav Avadya Yosef, so he was sensitive to this, and he writes in parentheses, V'gam tzarich berur, we have to figure it out. Im chatichot habasar v'shiari ha'gvina shebetzalachot achen nifkamim adiyam mayim rotchim b'tarovet chomrin nikui kegumim. You have to figure out, is it really true? Are the food particles really, do they become distasteful? Is there really no taste coming? He himself says, maybe you have whole pieces. It's not so shayach they're going to become. It's not so relevant. Not so possible that they're going to become pagum in this way. Especially since I have a second wash without any cleansing agent, without any soap. So, it's very possible that the taste is still going to be there, it's still going to be relevant, and it's still going to be able to transfer from one to the other. Okay, so therefore, it seems like the consensus of the poskim, the consensus of the chachamim, is that a person should not use a dishwasher for at least dirty meat and dairy dishes at the same time. That seems to be, Rav Avadya Yosef writes it in Teshuvah, and it's on the books. But in practice, because of the realities of how dishwashers work and the different things that go on in the dishwasher, it is not advisable. Okay, so we're not going to put the meat and the milk together in the dishwasher at the same time. Fine. Let's try putting them one at a time. I'll use my dishwasher for dairy. Finished. Done. And then I'll put in my meat dishes. Finished. Done. Is that a good option? Can I do such a thing? So in order to understand the principles over here, you have to understand another very important halachic principle when it comes to meat and milk called not Barnat. Not Barnat. I was once at an ufra for a guy whose last name was Barnett. And the rabbi started out with a 5-minute discussion of not Barnat or Barnett. He was making a joke. Okay. So what is not Barnat? Very, very famous phrase. Sounds like maybe it's like one of the rabbis in the Gemara. So not Barnat is as follows. Let's look in Shulchan Aruch. Dagim shenit bashlu. So let's say I have a clean meat pot, and I cook some fish, or let's say rice or pasta or something that's not meat or dairy in my clean meat pot. It's the pot that's just used. just used an hour ago. I made my meat sauce in it. I cleaned it out, washed it. There's no residue. And now I cook my pasta, my rice or something else in that pot. She'ein shum shuman davuk bo. It's a clean pot. Mutar lo chlan bekutach. I'm allowed to eat that fish, or I'm allowed to eat that rice or that pasta with a dairy dish. Why? Mishum dehavi noten tam bar noten tam dehetera. Okay. It's considered to be...
Simon, I have a question.
Yeah.
Look, we learned about maybe a couple of weeks ago. We said that if we're not allowed to have a meat and dairy on the same table. Now we'll say a washing machine. Is it the same thing that a washing machine is considered like a table, you know, putting meat and dairy at the same time?
Well, again, we already established that we're not going to put meat and dairy in the dishwasher at the same time. That's number one. Number two is that's a halakha when it comes to eating meat and dairy. It's not a halakha of placing meat and dairy. This is, you're not eating in the dishwasher, right? Obviously, you're just placing the utensils there. So it's a different halakha. Okay. Uh-huh. So anyway, so this is called noten tam bar noten tam de'etera. It's considered to be a secondary taste. Even though my pasta was cooked in my meat pot, but the taste that went into the pasta is considered to be not the full meat taste, but a weakened meat taste, because it is once removed from the actual meat. Meaning the first time, the first flavor of the meat went from the meat into the pot. Now when it goes from the pot into the pasta, it's considered to be tam sheni. It is secondary taste. And therefore, it is not going to create a problem with meat and milk together. Now, this only applies with meat and milk separately. If I have something that's not kosher, and I put cooked pasta in the pot, it's not kosher. We're talking about meat and milk separately, where the tastes are somewhat, as far as there's no prohibition inherent in the taste. So therefore, if they are weakened, they become what's called tam sheni, secondary tam. Therefore, they don't actually transmit any prohibition. So he says, and if I want to cook something in the pot and then it's not clean, so then if I have 60 times the quantity, so then I'm allowed to eat it. But if I don't have, if the meat is more than 1/60th of the parv, so then my food becomes meat and I would not be allowed to eat it with dairy. But if I have 60 times, so then it would be okay. Okay? The basic concept is what's called tam sheni, secondary taste, that flavor, if the meat goes into the pot and then goes out into something else, it doesn't go out into meat or dairy, it goes out into something else. So therefore, that flavor cannot become meat or dairy subsequently. And that pasta that I cooked in the meat pot, a clean meat pot, I can now mix it with cheese, no problem, according to Shulchan Aruch. Now, the Ramaz, the Ashkenazim, are a little bit more strict on this. And the Ashkenazim say, those that forbid secondary taste when it comes to cooking or roasting. So the custom is to forbid it in the first place, meaning Ashkenazim don't mix that pasta or that rice with cheese. They don't do that. However, if it already got mixed, it would be completely permitted. Okay? So, to clarify, if I have secondary taste, meaning the food goes into the pot goes down to something parv, right? Then it wants to get mixed with dairy. So Sephardim say you're allowed to mix it, no problem. Ashkenazim say that no, don't mix it, but if it got mixed, then it's kosher, it's no problem. Okay, now let's take that concept, let's take that principle and apply it to the situation of washing dishes. Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Sadihei, you already have Siman Sadihei, Saif Gima. Karosho Basar, I have meat dishes that were washed in a dairy pot. Very hot. Even if both the pot and the dishes were used in the last 24 hours, mutar, it is allowed. Why? So, because the flavor that's coming out of the dairy pot that I'm washing my meat pot in is considered to be secondary taste. The dairy flavor went into the pot. That's the first taste. It went from the pot out into the water. That's the second taste. And then it went into the meat pot later on. That's considered to be the third taste. And therefore, that is allowed. That's what Shulchan Aruch says. Shulchan Aruch qualifies it. And obviously, it has to be clean. Obviously, that whatever is there has to be clean, because if it's dirty, so then you don't have nat barnat. Nat barnat doesn't apply to actual food. It only applies to the flavor of the food that's absorbed into the walls of the utensil. Okay.
So that's me by clean. What do you mean by clean? I have to wait 24 hours?
No, not 24 hours. It's Shulchan said it could be within 24 hours. Just can't have any residue, any dairy residue or meat residue in either utensil. Okay? So now the Ramah says, V'yesh osrim avilu in shuman davuk bahen. But there are those who forbid, even if there is no shuman, there's no residue there, it's still forbidden. Only if one of them was not used in the last 24 hours, mibliyat kli rishon, from being used in a kli rishon. So then all the kelim are permitted, and the mayim, the water should not be used. Okay. Now this is our case. He says, if they're both used in the last 24 hours, and you wash them together, hakol asur. So here I have clean meat and dairy dishes. I'm not allowed to wash them together, according to Ashkenazim. I'm not allowed to wash them together in the dishwasher. So he says, this is the custom, don't change it. However, this is going to be the key phrase. This is what's going to change everything around. So he says, V'davka shehudchu, 1 second. V'davka shehudchu biyachad uvekli rishon. This rule only applies if they were washed together, and they were washed together in a what's called a kli rishon, which we're not going to define right now. Aval im hudchu ze achar ze o bekli sheni, or if you wash them one after the other, afilu biyachad akol sharei, or if it's in a kli sheni, which is, but we're not going to get into that, it's allowed, okay? So the Ramah tells me something very important. The Ramah says that if I wash meat and dairy dishes in the same pot with the same water, one after the other, then it's okay. Let's assume we're talking about clean dairy dishes, but I have clean dairy dishes, I wash them in the water one after the other, no problem. I'm allowed to do that. So I put all my meat clean dishes in the pot I'm using to wash dishes. I take them out, put all my dairy dishes inside, no problem. Okay? So now Rav Moshe Feinstein discusses the following question. Uvidavar hakliya chadash lerachetz et hakelim shenikra b'shem dishvasher. So he's writing this teshuva, I believe, in 1957, quite a long time ago, where there's this new contraption that people are having in their houses, people are buying for their houses, called a dishwasher. So people wanted to know, they asked Rav Moshe Feinstein, Posek Hador, he's the Posek of definitely Posek of America. Im yicholim lerchot sham kli basar ukli chalav ze achar ze. Can you wash meat dishes and dairy dishes one after the other? So he says, hine tzarich shema shebetocho, he says there's one qualification. We'll see more qualifications later. But his first qualification is you need separate racks for meat and for dairy. So Moshe has a tshuva. He has several other tshuvot. We're going to look at some of them tonight, where he says that I'm allowed to use a dishwasher for meat and for dairy dishes, one right after the other, as long as I have separate racks. He's machmir, which does actually make it quite inconvenient to use one dishwasher for meat and for dairy together. But if I have separate racks, I switch out my racks every time. So then I'm allowed to use the same dishwasher for meat and for dairy, one after the other.
Can you wash the dishes? Can you wash it, rinse out all the, rice or meat off the plate and you put it inside the washing machine?
Meat and dairy together or one after the other?
No, together.
So if it's completely clean, I think according to Shulchan Aruch, yes. According to Ramah, no. That's what I would say. That's what it seems like. Because he says, if I have clean kelim, I'm allowed to Shulchan Aruch, I'm allowed to wash them at the same time. So yeah, I would say according to Shulchan Aruch, yes. According to Ramah, no. Okay. So Moshe doesn't really explain himself so much in this teshuvah. But he has many other teshuvot, including two in Yoredei Achelek Bet, where he does give some explanation. He says, "Hinei kvar katavti b'sifri Groth Moshe," etc. He quotes his earlier teshuvah, where he says that you're allowed to. "Ach lo katavti shamatav v'shum du pashut." I didn't give you the reason. Do you know why I didn't say the reason? Because it's obvious. I don't need to tell you the reason. It's obvious why it's permitted. Why? "Da be'etzem hu not bar not." Shimutar v'basar l'chalav v'ibcha. So he says, this is just not by not. What happens? I put my meat dishes in the dishwasher, right? So any flavor that comes out into the water of the dishwasher is already tam sheni. It goes from there into the walls of the dishwasher. That's not by not. That's mutar. No problem. Umufurash berama od yoter dafilu botana mayim shuhu banakli bakli basar mutar ladiacham ikli achalav. I'm allowed to use the same water. Achar shenitlu misham hakli basar. After I took the meat dishes out, in lo haya be'en. O shaya shamayim shishim neged ha-be'en, v'kol shem b'kan shemayim acherim. So he says, listen, either if I have, I'm allowed to even use the same waters if I don't have actual residue there, or if I have 60 times the residue. And here, it's not even the same waters. I'm using different waters. So he says, for sure it should be allowed in that case. It's draining, right? My dishwasher is draining. And then I'm doing another cycle. The fact that I require different dish racks, so he says, you need different racks because sometimes you have residue that gets left on the utensils, right? I have residue from the dishes that ends up on the dish racks. And that's not going to come off so easily. That's in direct contact with the other stuff. So he says that I agree, you have to be machmir because you have residue. It's there, it's touching, it's not a good idea. He says, that's why you need different racks, right? Aval ein lachush, we're over here. Aval ein lachush, amashe gamba difanot ikal ifamim is a ben. But the stuff, the food that's on the walls of the dishwasher, kivan she'ein nogeya behakelim, it doesn't get into the kelim. The afim yaviu amayim misham et haben. Even if the food goes there, hu yoter marbe pamim shishim shelo shayach le'esor. So he says you're certainly going to have more than 60 times if I have any food residue that's mixed into my dishwasher that's maybe get absorbed by the dishwasher, I certainly have 60 times the residue. Now, if I have 60 times, it's batel, it's nullified. Even without the soap, it's nullified. So he's not concerned about any of the ta'am going into the walls. And therefore, he says that you're allowed to use one dishwasher back to back for meat and for dairy. And then in the next one, he says, again, he says the same thing. If you have 60 times, it's okay. So he does add one caveat in the next teshuvah. He says it's best to run a cycle in between. If you run a cycle in between, so you're going to clean it out. So that in that case, it would be okay. Now, seemingly, according to Rav Moshe, he doesn't say it. I always thought Rav Moshe says this, and I always was taught Rav Moshe says this, but in these teshuvot, he doesn't say it. But seemingly, Rav Moshe says, according to Rav Moshe, you still have to clean out the filter because the filter has food in it, and that food may still be edible to a certain degree. And therefore, and you may not have shishi, you may not have 60 times that food. If you do, then seemingly it would be okay. But if you don't have 60 times that food, so then you're going to run into a problem. Okay? Now, Rabbi David Brofsky, who's a rabbi in Eretz Yisrael, he writes about halacha a lot. So he makes the following observation about the necessity of 60 times. He says, some suggest that the food residue is nullified by shishim, 60-fold volume of water. This assumption is dependent upon the dishwasher, the type of cycle chosen, and the cleanliness of the dishes based on the dishwasher, being placed in the dishwasher. There are many variables. Older dishwashers, for example, were less likely to conserve water than newer ones and would use 10 to 15 gallons per load. newer machines, especially American Energy Star qualified dishwashers made after August 2009, use no more than 5.8 gallons of water per load. It seems that in most dishwashers, the actual meat or dairy residue must be less than one third or one half of a cup in order to be considered to be batel. So that's a small amount, right? He's not leaving you so much space in terms of how much food and how much residue, how much leftover food you can have in your dishwasher in order to permit use. Because if you're using only 5.8 gallons, that's not so much water relative to the amount of food that you're going to have. So again, so the application of emotions to Shuva depends on a lot of mitzvot, a lot of realities. It depends on how much water, how much food, a lot of variabilities. And again, you have to change the racks and you have to clean the filter, presumably. He doesn't say that, but presumably you have to clean the filter unless there's so little food in the filter that it wouldn't really make a difference. I'm very curious now actually to go check the filter of my dishwasher and see how much food is left in the filter of my own personal dishwasher to see how it would fit with this concept. Okay? So that's the teshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein, who says that technically you can use the same dishwasher for meat and dairy one after the other. He says you should remove the racks, change the racks, and we said, presumably you have to change the filter. Okay, or clean the filter. Okay. So, I was going to say something else about how the dishwasher works. I found it to be very interesting. The way a dishwasher works is, it's not that it fills up with water and that water boils and it cleans all the dishes and it gets all soapy and it cleans all the dishes. Or that there's hot water pouring in into the dishwasher until it fills up and it shakes around a little bit and cleans all your dishes. They're actually, and you've probably seen it, I never processed what they are. There are spray nozzles that rotate underneath the dishwasher, and those spray nozzles are constantly spraying out water, and then the soap is released, as we saw, and that water gets mixed in with the soap, and it keeps spraying over and over and over again. And once it's finished spraying, once the water hits the dishes, what happens? It doesn't drain immediately. It actually falls down to the receptacle, and it gets resprayed, right, just to conserve water. It gets resprayed in the dishwasher. Obviously, it's mixed with soap, so it's still able to clean, right? And probably the volume of the water makes the water not so dirty, assuming you don't have too much dirt in your dishwasher. But the fact that it's the same water that keeps getting used over and over again is an indication of the fact that you're not going to have that much water in order to negate 60 times the volume of whatever residue is coming off your dishes. Now, again, if you had a reality where it was soapy from the beginning, that would be much less chamur, it would be much less strict. But again, you would still probably need shishim because you're probably going to have clean cycles without the soap that are going to run afterwards. Okay, let's continue. Oh, and so Major says, meat residue refers to actual meat and not necessarily the quantity of super gravy. Many are careful to clean off their plates before putting them in a dishwasher, leaving very little meat or dairy residue. Similarly, a pre-wash cycle is run, the cold water most likely removes most of the residue. Okay, so there are ways to get the residue off, which would leave room for Moshe's psak. Okay, now I saw this week in the Sefer Penine Halacha. Penine Halacha is written by Rabbi Eliezer Melamed, who's a well-known rabbi and posek in Eretz Yisrael. So he has the following. He says, "Mediach chilim, a dishwasher, mutar lishtamesh beoto mediach uvotam magashim lebisari ulechalavi." So he's quite lenient, and he says that you're allowed to use the same dishwasher and the same trays, the same racks for meat and for dairy. Zeachar zeh, back to back. Toch hakpadah shelo yadichum yachad. Just make sure don't have your meat and dairy there at the same time. Because the flavors of meat and dairy may mix together before the soap comes. And don't do it together, but back to back, he says it would be allowed. Now, he says, there are those who have two racks, one for dairy, one for meat, in order to keep the separation. And there are those who are mehader even more. They beautify the mitzvah even more to have separate dishwashers for meat and for dairy. However, according to the halacha, he says you're allowed to wash, if he's even more lenient than Moshe Feinstein. He doesn't really quote any sources in the footnotes, But he just says, based on his own understanding, his own logic, his own reasoning, he says that you're allowed to wash meat and dairy in the same dishwasher, even on the same racks, back to back. Now, if you follow that,
so I want to get this right. You're saying that a washing machine with a two different rack, or you have to you're allowed to use the same rack with meat and dairy.
So Rav Moshe Feinstein says use two different racks, but Penine Halacha, Rabbi Eliezer Melamed says that you're allowed to use the same racks for meat and for dairy. He doesn't really explain so much where he gets it from. He says you should, I guess he says, like, he's presuming that the racks aren't really going to get dirty, which it could be. Like, if you look at your racks, right, do a dishwashing cycle, open your racks. Do you see meat and dairy residue on your racks? Unlikely.
No.
Unlikely, right? It's pretty clean. And then he says even the filter, you don't really have to worry about so much because all the flavor is pogam. He doesn't really address what happens if you have like ba'en, if you have real pieces in there. So I'm not 100% sure what to do with that factor. But anyway, it's good to have in your back pocket to know that.
So we worry about the rack, or we worry about the, or the filter?
Both. I mean, and listen, it depends who you want to follow, but the, I think the custom is not even to rely on Ramosha's leniency. So look at
the filter is not really important because
says. But again, even Rav Yitzchak Yosef, whose father, who he follows all this psakim, says you're allowed to use meat and dairy at the same time. Even he said, I'm not so sure about the food in the filter. So to be lenient straight out and say the food in the filter is not an issue, I would be hesitant. Well, you have to clean the filter. That's what you have to do. You have to clean the filter in between the meat and the dairy, presumably. Okay. Now, I mean, which is not so clear because maybe then you have meat residue going into your filter. If dairy residue going into your filter, then you have a tray filter. And a tray filter, the flavor that comes out of the filter could be a problem. So I don't know. I'm not sure. Anyways, the common custom, despite Moshe Feinstein's leniency, is not to use one dishwasher for washing meat and dairy consecutively. Those who do permit this practice must accept the following assumptions. The food residue, even if at times not spoiled, is nullified by shishim of water. The detergent spoils the remaining food residue even when there isn't shishim of water in the machine. You have to make those two assumptions in order to be allowed to use the dishwasher for meat and dairy back to back. And then he says, furthermore, those who use a dishwasher in America in which the internal heating element does not heat the water may have another reason to be lenient, right? Because there the water comes from the outside, it's already heated, so it's called Iri Kli Rishon, not Kli Rishon. One last thought, he says, Rabbi Jachter has an article about this where he tries to show that Ravadi Yosef, Rabbi Jachter is an Ashkenazi rabbi in a Sephardi shul. Interesting, in Tinek. So it makes sense in Tinek, right? You have an Ashkenazi rabbi for a Sephardi shul. It's quite an Ashkenazi town. So Rabbi Jachter says the following. He says that Rav Shlomo Amar was at their shul, and Rav Shlomo Amar, who even though he normally follows the psakim of Chacham Avadi Yosef, was not willing to follow this psak, this halachic ruling, when it came to the dishwashers, to use the same dishwasher for meat and dairy. So what did he tell them to do? However, Shlomo Amar told a group of Shari Ora congregants during his visit to our congregation, Shabbat Nachman 5777, that he believes that a dishwasher should not be used for milk and meat unless one kosherizes the dishwasher between uses of the opposite food types. And how do you kosherize a dishwasher? So Rav Amar requires running an empty cycle with detergent as a koshering process between the uses of the opposite food type. Okay, so you would, if you want, let's say my dairy dishwasher, I want to use it for meat, so then I would run an empty cycle with detergent. It would kosher the dishwasher, and then I'd be able to use it subsequently for the other type. The dishwasher is between uses of the opposite food, for the dishwasher between uses of the opposite food types. Rav Amar typically follows the halachic path of Rav Adi Yosef. Regarding this issue, he is not comfortable doing so, meaning allowing one to use the same dishwasher for meat and dairy together. So therefore, Rav Amar says that you should run an empty cycle with detergent to kosher between the meat and the dairy, okay? So just to summarize, it seems to be one should not rely on the opinion to use the same dishwasher for meat and dairy together at the same time. Don't do that. Now, to use it back-to-back for meat and dairy, you certainly have Rav Moshe to rely on, who says change the racks and presumably clean out the filter. And Rav Melamed is even more lenient. However, it seems to be the accepted practice is whenever possible, people will dedicate their dishwasher either to or dedicate their dishwasher only to meat, only to dairy. However, Rav Amar's suggestion is a reasonable one. One caveat, which I have to look into a little bit, is that Ashkenazim have a custom not to kasher kelim from meat to dairy or vice versa. Because concerns of mix-ups, things may get confused, Ashkenazim have the custom not to kasher from meat to dairy or vice versa. I once asked Rabbi Willig about kashering an oven from meat to dairy or vice versa, and he said that one should not do it because of that custom of not kashering from meat to dairy or vice versa. Rabbi Force is actually lenient by the oven, with the same machloket applied to a dishwasher, very possibly, I'm not sure. But just keep that in the back of your mind. If one is Ashkenazi and wants to kosher their dishwasher between meat and dairy, keep in mind that you may run into the issue of koshering kalim from meat to dairy and vice versa. So keep that in mind. But there, at least for Sfaradim, you could kosher between meat and dairy by running a cycle with a soap, which would be pogem all the time. Okay, Chavra.
Can I just ask a question?
Of course.